Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest, Shannon Dill. You and I have talked about extension work at Annie's Project before, and I'm so glad you're here. Could you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. I'm Shannon Dill. I'm with University of Maryland Extension, and I'm a county ag agent on the eastern shore of Maryland. I'm based out of Talbot County.
Extension agents are incredibly valuable. What does an extension agent do?
Absolutely. We are that connector in the county or in the region on a particular topic, and we're the connector from the University of Maryland. So we are University of Maryland College of Agriculture faculty members, and we are out in the communities bringing information to farmers, landowners, youth through our 4-H programs, master gardeners through that program. And so we are that local connection to the university. And we like to say it's unbiased, research-based information. So we're not selling products. We have experts that we can lean on and get information from. So we are really that connector, either from the community to the university on what research needs to be done or what research is happening that the communities need to know about.
And the extension agent is not a government agency, it's a University of Maryland agency.
That is correct. We're part of Cooperative Extension, and it is a land grant model, and it is a partnership between federal, state, and counties. And so an example here in Talbot County is we have some federal funds, we have some state funding that comes into our office, as well as the county that invests in having the programs here delivered right in the communities. So that is a very critical touch that we feel, especially here in Maryland. We have an office in every county. And then we also have one in Baltimore City, and then we have our regional research centers, because obviously something that maybe needs to be researched on the coast is different than what is being researched in Western Maryland. So an example would be a particular variety might do better in certain types of soil or climate. And with Maryland as diverse as it is, having those research centers is critical.
For the folks who don't know, or maybe clearing up some of the questions out there, the county ag extensions are the connections that you need to make to know about your critters and your companions and your commerce and your ag. That is the connector right there.
Absolutely.
Annie's Project and Women in Agriculture is one of the outgrowths of the Talbot County Extension Office and is near and dear to your heart.
For sure. It is one of my favorite programs. It has been a highlight of really my career working with women in agriculture. And I was introduced to this at a national conference I was at. And Annie's Project began in the Midwest as a farm management class for women, with the idea that women are business owners, they're owning operating businesses, they're working with partners, they're working with family members, and it helps provide them additional resources and education in the farm management side of agriculture. And this program in Maryland, this year, Annie's Project, it's going to be our 17th year that we've offered it. And we have over 700 graduates at this point between Maryland and Delaware. We partner together on this program. And it has just been a great way to connect, not just with farm women, but we like to say women in agriculture, because there's so many ways that agriculture touch women's lives. It might not be necessarily just on the farm. It could be that they're a landowner and they lease out their property, but they need to understand farm operations or farm business management. It could also be an ag service provider, like a crop insurance agent or a lender or someone that works in crop scouting. And so the other third one that I would really like to highlight is aspiring farmers. We see a lot of people that attend our sessions because they want to be a farm woman or a woman in agriculture. And so we have rebranded a number of years ago into, we really want to connect with women with a passion for agriculture. And it doesn't matter if you're in an urban space, you know, farming on 0.25 acres, or if you're tilling, you know, over 1,000 acres. We really want to be able to connect with them.
Farming and agriculture is such an interesting connection between the family. Oftentimes on Raising Connections, we talk about being farm royalty, because when you marry into Buckingham Palace, you have a set of expectations, and it's not just a marriage, it's a lifestyle and a career at the same time. And many of our farm women find that to be true. Whether they're married or not, it is a lifestyle. It's not just a job.
Absolutely. And, you know, we find women that are farmers and the husband has off-farm job. We have a lot of single women that are farming and running very efficient businesses. So it really is a wonderful diversity. And I love when we come together. Many of our university programs are very commodity-based, right? So if I'm growing a particular crop or raising a particular livestock, those are the sessions that people might go to. With Annie's Project and the Women in Agriculture program, because we focus on a lot of the management side of the business, we cross lots of different types of crops or livestock businesses. And I think that's one of the great assets to this program is it's not just targeting a livestock farmer or someone that's growing fruits. Anyone can get information out of this program.
Many of our listeners have an offsite job. They leave their house in the morning and they go somewhere that's not the barn. They're going to work for someone else. When you're in agriculture, like you highlighted, you can be a landowner, you can be a crop farmer, you can be growing livestock, you can be growing flowers and horticulture. There's so many things that happen. And with the homestead movement and farms getting smaller in Maryland, do you find that many of the folks who are using small farms, such as lavender farms or herb farms, or they're making a profit from a smaller area, finding the program useful?
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, the conference that we have is during the day, but like Annie's Project is in the evening time. We have our Women in Ag webinars that we offer over the lunch hour, because we do realize that diversity and diversifying that portfolio for your family is really critical to long-term sustainability and the viability of your business and your family, right? So we do recognize that. And so we try to make our programs very accessible. All of our webinars are recorded and they're posted on our YouTube channel. We try to be very active on social media so we can reach people when they're available. And the seasonality of agriculture and people's regular lives, we realize women are balancing a lot of things, whether it's an off-farm job, family commitments. We see a lot of women, they're either taking care of family members or parents, or they're taking care of their young children, or they don't want to miss a soccer game. And so we try to make those programs as accessible and flexible as possible so they can attend. And COVID really pushed us with Annie's Project to go virtual. Those programs were in the evening, but they were in person. And we did realize that we needed to go ahead and make that change that we go to a virtual format. And we have done that since maybe 2022.
So I have to ask this. It dovetails with the virtual piece. Many folks are finding the value again in face-to-face and networking, yet the expanded reach for a virtual program is so much wider and the network expands so much. Is that why Women in Ag has a component that is in-person in the conference and webinars through the year that are virtual?
Oh, that balance has been so hard for us as an educational organization and institution to try to crack that code on how do we reach people. We do want that personal connection. And I know I learn better when I'm in a classroom, really thinking and critically looking at things. But time is such a limiting factor for people. So we're hoping that our mix of activities can offer enough variety for people to be able to participate. And, you know, they see the value maybe in the farm tour. You know, I'm going to take this day off and I'm going to participate in the farm tour, or I'm going to take this day off and participate in the conference. But then also offer those asynchronous things that we can, you know, shoot people a great Facebook post, or we do have a monthly newsletter so we can push that information out too. And so we're hoping that mix is going to be part of the success of the program. But I tell you, it has been a juggle act for those of us trying to make decisions on how you do operate and face-to-face trying to do work with venues. And I mean, from an event planning side, anyone that's planned events recently, there's some stress level to that.
Absolutely.
And so we're still trying to figure it out, and we're kind of throwing some things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Talk about business education right there. Just planning the events for the attendees is business education. And that changing environment, our changing landscape. When we come back, let's continue the conversation with Women in Agriculture and Shannon Dill from the Extension Office. Join me, Rayshan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.